football on off the ball.
Found it hard. Owen, I have to say that it took me a while to get over that that France game, because to me it did feel like the end of the road for me. I knew I'd never be back to play another World Cup potentially down the line.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, could Ireland be about to add to their striking options with an English-born striker? Can Heimir Hallgrímsson use the disappointment as fuel for qualification for the Euros in 2028? And Katie McCabe finds herself facing the wrath of Chelsea boss Sonia Bompastor. But first today, the Irish management team haven't given up hope of Liam Delap playing for Ireland. The FAI has made several attempts in the past to get the Chelsea striker to declare for the boys in green and follow in the footsteps of his dad Rory, who won 11 caps for Ireland. Delap has played underage for England all the way up to the 21s, but he's yet to win a senior cap, and it appears he's well down the pecking order under Thomas Tuchel. Ireland assistant boss John O'Shea has spoken to his former international teammate Rory Delap and said it's now a case of wait and see. Now that the dust has settled on the World Cup playoffs, the focus turns to Euro 2028, and the first part will be a training camp in Spain from the second week of May. Ireland have a friendly against Grenada as part of that camp. There will also be a second friendly against an unnamed team at the moment. Hallgrímsson will use players from the Championship and League One who aren't involved in playoffs. Jack Moylan of Lincoln and Jade Nume of Benfica are among those under consideration. Then there's the friendlies against Qatar and Canada. Football writer and broadcaster Dion Fanning joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night and said there are lots of positives to look forward to.
No, I think there was something there. I think Troy Parrott is an exceptional player and is going to be an exceptional international player. Like, I think that's, I don't have any doubt about that. And there's Kelleher, Dara O'Shea was immense in Prague. Like Josh Cullen in November was fantastic. And again, someone like Josh Cullen becoming somebody, you're, like when he got injured, going, Jesus, we're going to miss Josh Cullen. Like, that's in its own way says a lot, because, you know, we the midfield was just this, again, seemed to be, and I'm exaggerating, but it seemed to be an interchangeable collection of kind of faceless players, like, to, I think, to a lot of people. And suddenly Josh Cullen plays the way he played in November, and it's like, no, this, look what he does, look what we need him for. So I think there's lots of stuff that you can be encouraged by, a lot of stuff that can be encouraged by. And I think overall, and I can see why people, on balance, I think it's right that it's good that the manager is in place and is there for, you know, we're not looking for a manager, because I think he can use that. And you know, it's like, if you're building towards the Euros and you're building towards something, you can use everything that they've experienced as part of that process.
On the latest episode of The Green Scene, David Wilson and Ben Syme spoke about how the mood of the nation has changed regarding the international team.
And the one thing that will stick out to me from this last couple of days, this last week or so, is stick with us. Troy Parrott said, stick with us. And he's obviously came to be this bona fide superstar. He's also a leader of this team. And I think the Irish public can stick with this team, and they will, majority. And the ones who won't, well, good riddance to them, because this is going to be, you know, a train that you're one going to hop on right from the very start. And I know our job is to hold these people to account and to be critical and to be journalists and stuff, but, you know, we are also fans, and the passion for Irish football is, yeah, it's kind of only ever growing more and more. We are a football nation, we are a football country, and that's something I've learned over the last week, that we can and we will be part of these major tournaments to come.
Ireland versus Slovakia playoff from a few years ago.
Don't do it to yourself, Ben.
I watched the highlights and I remembered back to that night, and that was obviously during COVID in Bratislava. So I was at home and I watched that game and I finished, and I went for a very long walk after the game, a very, very long walk, and it was freezing cold and it was pitch black. Mm. And I ended up walking on the beach and I was like, this is so over. Like, we were on the cusp of qualifying for Euros. Where are we going to go with the future here? Where is the team going? You know, Dave McGoldrick was our best player on the park that night, and it looks like his career is kind of winding down. I know he's still playing club, but it ended up being the end of his international career. And it was like, where are we really going to go from here? And there is no sense of that feeling after this game.
No, that's a great way to put it.
There is huge disappointment. We haven't qualified for World Cup. But immediately, instead of just going, oh my God, we're all disconsolate, so much despair, this is agonising, it's so cruel.
Yeah.
We have that positivity and those green shoots from this campaign that we know when this situation comes around again, we will have learned from it, and we have a team that are going to grow so much from this. And Hamer and Darroche said it on Monday, you know, it's the oldest cliche when it comes to losing a football match, but win or learn. And Ireland are going to learn so much from this. Yeah. And a team that are going to be able to bounce back. And the disappointment that we felt last Thursday is going to be absolutely minuscule in comparison to the joy that we will feel when we do qualify for a major tournament again.
That's available to listen back to for free in your OTB Football podcast feed. As the hype train continues as well, Dion told Owen that he was taken aback by the amount of hype surrounding the team over the last week.
And how patently obvious it was that Ireland were very much up for this game in Czechia last week, to the point where you can now make the case that it was sapping of some sort of energy, that this was a real blood and guts approach to this playoff semi-final.
Like, I was kind of taken aback a little bit by how much build-up there was, like how much hype there was. It was, you know, like Hungary, Budapest was one of the biggest days in the history of Irish sport. So everyone was watching it. I don't have any proprietorial rights over it.
Is that just not just an indication of where society is full stop? Because it has, whether we like to believe this or not, 2016 is ages ago. A lot has happened in those 10 years in terms of our own behaviour. Digital media was everywhere in 2016, but the way in which we interact with them as individuals has dramatically changed in the last 10 years. That's less an indication of Ireland and Irish fans. It's actually just representation of where the world is at.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's absolutely fair. So if you accept that, and I do accept that, but I'm just saying it took me, I was a bit surprised by it in a naive way. So that's one element of it. But what I do think is very hard then is to keep people away from that in terms of the players and the end. And I wonder like how much Hamer expected all this to be happening, because, you know, he hasn't experienced this before. Like he is a sort of a calm presence, and, you know, again, people are entering into the area where they're seeing the downside of his calmness again. Like, do something. Why didn't you do something during Prague? You took too long to make substitutions. Whereas his calmness was an asset up until that point, but he's also, he must look kind of quizzically at a lot of the stuff that goes on. The crashing lows and the like unbelievable highs that accompany the Irish team. Like it is kind of something phenomenal for somebody who comes from a place that's probably a little bit more rational around these things.
And that's available to listen back to now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Meanwhile, our own Matthew Brennan was out and about yesterday, and he caught up with former Ireland international Andy Reid, a former Nottingham Forest, Spurs and Sunderland midfielder. He has his coaching academy in Dublin. Reid, who's worked with Forest as a coach, put on a session for some of the best young players in transition year in the country, and he told Matthew he wants to work with League of Ireland clubs to help develop the best elite talent in the country.
I think probably the other bit there that is really important for me to kind of state is that we've had great contact with all the League of Ireland clubs over the last 4 to 6 weeks, you know, since we launched this, and all have been very receptive to what we're trying to do. Now, for me, that's very, very important. I believe that there's some excellent coaches in Ireland, and I think there's some really good clubs developing good players in a good way. I don't want to work separately from them. I really want to work together. So in terms of individual development plans, athletic development plans, and we want to work really closely with the clubs. So in terms of, say, loading, if they've had too much game time and, you know, we know that we need to back off them a little bit when they come to us, that's fine, no problem. All our players will have GPS units every single day. You've seen the equipment that we've got here for the testing. Wearing the GPS units every single day helps us track the loading, so helps with injury prevention, but it also helps them, you know, how much can we push these players as well, because we want to push them so we know that you know, that they're going to the limits.
That's also available to listen back to in your OTB football podcast feed. Now, our League of Ireland commentary returns tomorrow night. It's Drogheda United against league leaders Bohemians. And the LOI pod was also back this week after the international break. Stephen Doyle was joined by Barry Murphy and Gareth McGlynn. On this week's episode, the topic of goal-scoring midfielders came up and perhaps the lack of them that currently exist in the league.
As a goalkeeper, Barry, like, you know, when you think about goal-scoring midfielders, what set the best midfielders apart when it came to scoring goals, right? When you're from a goalkeeper's perspective, who are the best ones? How did they, I suppose, maybe trick defences, trick goalkeepers?
I think we haven't seen, as Gareth alluded to, I haven't seen one since Richie Towell, I think. Somebody that arrived late into the box, balls were put back from knowing that he was going to, it's kind of that Frank Lampard little role on the edge of the box. As a goalkeeper, you're getting set obviously for a pullback, and then you've got a body in front of you, so you just can't see anything coming on. But it's all about that timing, and we haven't seen that sort of marauding midfielder with the goals tally that Richie got that season and the subsequent seasons. He was just there. Obviously, there's penalties as well, but he always timed it so well. Got on the end of things, deflected off people, and went into the back of the net. But there isn't that type of goal scoring midfielder in the league at the moment. And when you look at the league overall, the top scorers are usually about 12 to 14 goals. So in terms of huge goals output, it's not there in the league. It's spread around the team. And you look all over, the centre-half score a lot of goals in this league. Set pieces are becoming a much bigger thing. Bowes looks so much more potent at set pieces now with Hickey involved in them. So I think it's the way the game's gone here, it's becoming a little bit like England, where the goals are getting spread around. They do need somebody to chip in with more goals, though, because if you look at, you take Holly Whelan out of that team, you just don't see where consistent goals are going to come from.
That's also available to listen back to in your OTB football podcast feed for free. Former Liverpool captain Steven Gerrard revealed he advised Mohamed Salah not to leave Liverpool under a cloud after his public fallout with manager Arne Slot. Salah announced last week he'll leave in the summer despite having 1 year left on his contract. The 33-year-old Egyptian said in a post-match interview in December that he felt he'd been thrown under the bus by the club and by Slot, who left him out of the starting 11 during a poor run of results. Gerrard was speaking on The Overlap.
I spoke to him around that interview at the time and sort of said to him, look, don't do what you've done. He texts me now and again, or I text him now and again, but it gave me the opportunity to say to him, look, you've been here for 8-9 years. You've been a king here. You've got this legacy and stuff. Just go on your terms the right way.
Spain's Lamine Yamal's condemned intolerable Islamophobic chanting during their friendly with Egypt on Tuesday night. The Barcelona winger was visibly upset as the abuse was heard at the RCD Stadium, the home of Espanyol. Spain's federation has denounced the chanting and Catalan police are investigating. Yamal says using religion as a taunt is ignorant and racist. FIFA's waiting on official reports before deciding on any action. Coventry manager Frank Lampard says he's staying grounded even if fans are getting carried away with their league position. Coventry have an 11-point buffer over third place Ipswich with 6 games left in the Championship. Lampard is on the brink of taking Coventry back to the Premier League for the first time in 25 years. But he says his focus is on finishing the job.
I'm trying to stay very focused, the old adage of every game as it comes, and that's very important for us until any job is done. We've done a lot of work now this season. We'll get ourselves in a very, very good position, there's no doubt about that. But we know we have to continue, and all the games are now going to be important for us to try and do that. But yeah, we're on that final run-in, so let's see.
Meanwhile, Lincoln boss Michael Scubala says he's hoping to be celebrating promotion from League One over the Easter weekend. A win against AFC Wimbledon tomorrow could seal a return to the second tier for the first time in 25 years. The Imps have several Irish players in their squad, including Jack Moylan, Josh Honahan and James Collins. Scubala says they're in a strong position, but nothing is certain until it is mathematically over.
Let's be clear, there's absolutely nothing done, but we're in a strong position and we're just excited to go after the next 3 points. And that's probably been our mantra
all season, you know, to try and attack the next game. And we're going to do exactly the same against a very good team on Friday.
Jermaine Defoe says he hopes to be a trailblazer for black managers as he targets promotion with Woking. The former England international has been appointed as the permanent successor to Neil Ardley in his first full managerial role. Defoe has previously coached at Rangers and worked with Tottenham's academy and says he's determined to make the most of the opportunity.
I'd like to think going forward, other black managers now will get opportunities, and obviously players that are still playing, you know, when they finish playing, hopefully in the future, no, they'll get the opportunities, because, you know, I've had these long conversations with ex-players and, you know, that sort of like ambition to go on and coach and manage and that. So yeah.
Arsenal manager Rene Slager says Katie McCabe never plays with bad intentions. Chelsea boss Sonia Banpastor was disgusted with the Ireland captain for a hair pull on Alyssa Thompson in last night's Champions League quarter-final. Arsenal lost 1-0 at Stamford Bridge but advanced to the semi-finals 3-2 on aggregate. McCabe escaped punishment. VAR didn't step in to review the incident. Banpastor was shown a yellow and eventually sent off for her protests. And Slager says there was no malice from McCabe.
She tries to pull the shirts. Alyssa Thompson is very fast. I don't think Katie is very competitive. She wants to win. You see that in the way she plays. But for me, she always plays fair.
This is what Sonia Banpastor made of it all.
I'm the one who gets a red card, where I think the Arsenal player should be the one who gets a red card. What is the VAR doing in these games? If we have the VAR, why are we not checking these situations? I don't understand, and it's not good enough.
Manchester United lost 2-1 away to Bayern Munich, who advanced 5-3 on aggregate. This evening, Barcelona will resume 6-2 up on Real Madrid. That game kicks off at 5:45 and the winners will play Bayern. Lyon are at home to Wolfsburg, who lead 1-0 from last week. That game starts at 8. Arsenal await the winners. And remember, the League of Ireland is back this week. You can listen to live commentary of Drogheda United and Bohemians from 7:00 on Friday night and Off the Ball on News Talk and on the Go Loud app. Jonathan Higgins will be joined in the commentary box by former League of Ireland Premier Division winning manager Vinnie Perth. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more next week.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.